From the heart of Nebraska's capital city, this is the Nebraska Family Alliance Report. Here's your host, Nate Groz.
Protecting girls' sports and spaces is a top priority for Nebraska Family Alliance this year. I'm Nate Groz, Executive Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, and today we are honored to be joined by two special guests to help talk about this issue and explain what's happening in our state. We're joined today by Erica Steinmiller-Perdomo, Legal Counsel with Alliance Defending Freedom, and Selena Soule, a former elite track and field athlete from Connecticut and one of the first advocates for keeping women's sports for women. We're so excited to have both of you with us and that you're advocating for women and girls in Nebraska and around the country. And Selena, I'd love to start the conversation with you. And I know this is an issue that has impacted you personally, and you have a story to share. So could you tell us a little bit about your background, your story, and why you've been so outspoken in support of protecting girls' sports?
Of course. So I started track and field when I was a little girl. I was 8 years old. And from the moment I stepped foot on the track in my very first meet, I fell in love with the sport and knew that it was something that I wanted to do for as long as I could. So I couldn't wait until I got into high school to finally be a part of an organized team and to share my love of track and field with other kids my age. But that was all overshadowed by the fact that I had to compete against not one, but two biological males throughout all 4 years of high school. The first male always competed as a girl, and the second one competed as a male for the first 3 seasons, and in the 2-week break between the indoor and outdoor season our sophomore year, transitioned to the girls' team and began dominating the women's events. So between the two of them, they won over 15 state championships and broke over 17 state and meet records that no girl will ever be able to achieve. So I personally ran against these athletes almost every single weekend, totaling to dozens of races throughout the years, but I lost to these males. And we would go into these meets days in advance knowing that we would be competing against them and knowing that there was nothing that we could do to get that gold medal, that we would be placing for third place and beyond. And it was heartbreaking. In my junior year, I lost out on qualifying for the regional New England meet by 2 spots because the top 2 spots were taken by those male athletes. So if they weren't there, then I would have been allowed to compete in the 55-meter dash. So I had to sit at the New England meet and watch my own event from the sidelines because I had qualified in the 4x200-meter relay and the long jump where I received all New England honors. So that was a heartbreaking experience for me. So my mother and I started speaking out back in 2018 on this when the second biological male started competing, and we garnered the attention of the local media. So we did interviews with local papers and the local news outlets, but nothing really came of it. But once I lost out on qualifying for that New England meet, I said enough is enough, and if the adults in the room don't want to protect us, then I need to stand up. So at just 16 years old, I started doing national television interviews. So for me, it's been important to ensure that girls are protected. I mean, now my high school career is long over, obviously, and I just want to ensure that no other girl has to experience the pain that I went through in high school.
Yeah, you know, I remember seeing just some of those stories about what was happening in Connecticut, and we've seen more and more examples of this happening around the country, and we see these stories, but I mean, this was real for you. You literally had to watch, you know, your spot be stolen by men competing in women's track and field. What was that like for you personally? That this wasn't just another political issue. I mean, this was your life. This was impacting you and your family, and to be put in a position, like you said, where people weren't necessarily stepping up to help, and it was up to you to speak out for women and girls.
Yeah, this was my reality for 4 years in high school, and it's nothing that a young girl should be going through. It should be up to the coaches and school administrators and legislators to protect their girls, but in Connecticut, they didn't want to do that. My parents and I met with our school administrators, we met with legislators, our sports governing body. Nobody wanted to take the initiative to protect women's sports. And it's just heartbreaking because I have a very high competitive drive. I want to win in everything that I do. It doesn't matter if it's getting off first at a green light. I always want to be the first one to win everything, even if it's not a competition. So for me, going into these meets every single weekend, knowing that there's nothing I can do to win, even if I run my personal best, even if I break my school record, which happened, there was nothing I could do to get that gold medal. And it was just extremely mentally challenging and draining. And I know girls that I competed against throughout the years that changed their events to compete in events where they didn't have males and compete in events that were not their strong suit, just so they wouldn't have to lose out on opportunities because of the male athletes. And it's just devastating that anyone would allow that to happen to us.
Yeah, we're thankful, you know, while we're heartbroken that you and others have had to go through those experiences, that you've had the courage to speak out and encourage others to do the same. And Erica, I know we're so thankful for the work and ability to partner with Alliance Defending Freedom on this issue to protect women and girls. What are you seeing on this issue around the country? And what is the need for our legislators here in Nebraska to be the next state to take action?
Yeah, well, nationwide, 25 states have already passed protections to ensure that girls and women have equal opportunities on the playing field. And so we are hopeful that Nebraska will join the ranks of the majority of states that are acting to protect female athletics and keep girls' sports for girls only. Nationwide, we've also seen with the change of administration, President Trump take really strong action to defend girls' sports. And we applaud his efforts and are grateful that he's taken the stance to restore common sense, to restore federal government policies to the biological reality that there are only two sexes, male and female. And he's scaling back bad Biden administration policies that have been pushing radical gender ideology on the American people for 4 years. But there's more to do. And Nebraska's LB 89 is really a clear guidance for the schools into how to implement these protections at the state level that are going to keep Nebraska in compliance with that federal directive now. So it provides directive that Nebraska needs to designate the sports either as male, female, or co-ed, and designate private spaces in schools and government buildings to ensure that a girl can use the restroom free from a man being able to gain access to that intimate space. And so this bill is essential for restoring protections to Nebraska's women and girls.
Yeah. And I want to unpack that a little bit. Obviously, we were so thankful and excited to see the executive order on this issue, protecting girls' sports, from President Trump. But a lot of people are asking now if this issue is taken care of, what that means for LB 89. So what's the difference or importance of Nebraska still having a law like LB 89, the Stand With Women Act, in comparison to the executive order that came down from the president?
So just as easily as President Trump has tried to restore these protections, we know there's that threat that in 4 years under a different administration, those protections can be scaled back, unfortunately. And Alliance Defending Freedom has been representing female athletes like Selena Soul, who are pushing back on the bad policies. And we have been supporting 5 lawsuits on behalf of state attorney generals and female athletes that have challenged the Biden administration's rewrite of sex in Title IX to include gender identity. And we helped achieve a nationwide injunction. Trump's executive order now, keeping men out of women's sports, carries that out and actually cites to those federal court decisions that say that it is a violation to try to allow men to compete in women's sports and take their opportunities. But at the state level, they need to keep those protections. One, to prevent going back to the way things were under a new administration. But again, Trump has made clear that in order to receive federal funding for sports or for educational institutions in the states, they need to comply with the new directive of what Title IX means. And it means that Title IX is intended to ensure equal educational opportunities for men and women. And that means women need access to sports that are female only and private spaces, because that is how they can thrive in their education. Women have been fighting for these protections for decades because they haven't historically, athletics and academics were more open only for men. So really, it's been generations of fighting for these equal protections. But what Nebraska can do now is to ensure that their women and girls are protected for many years to come.
Yeah, that's so important. And I think spot on. We've come such a long way. And really, we saw our culture and government just moving the complete wrong direction. And we're seeing that start to swing back, I think, in large part, Selena, thanks to stories like yours and the courage that you have had to speak out. What does it mean to you to see lawmakers and more parents and people speaking out on this issue? And how can we continue to support the efforts to protect our girls and ensure that those opportunities are not being taken away?
It's definitely encouraging that there's more and more people speaking out on this issue, and I'm grateful for all of them, because when I started this, there was really nobody. I was a 15, 16-year-old girl trying to navigate the media and figure all this out for myself, so I had to become a role model not only for myself but for all of the other girls that came after me. So I'm very grateful for everyone that's joined this fight, because I've always said that it's going to be easier to fight this with the more voices that we have. The power of 1,000 is more impactful than the power of one. And I'm grateful that there are legislators out there and that we have a president in office now who is willing to stand up and protect women, because it's science and, quite frankly, common sense tells us that men and women are biologically different, and sports mm-hmm. are all about your biology, not your identity. And Title IX was enacted in 1972 for a reason, to give women their fair chance in athletics, because if you look at track and field or swimming, the men's world records and the men's times are always going to be faster and better than the women. It's a little harder to see that performance advantage clearly in a team sport, but it's also a safety issue to have men competing in contact sports with women. There was a field hockey player, I believe it was in Massachusetts, where her teeth got knocked out because the ball hit her in the face. There have been a few volleyball players that have gotten hit in the face with the ball spiked by a man and have had lasting health issues because of that. And this is not a position that our girls should be in. We shouldn't have to share a bathroom with a man. We shouldn't have to change in a locker room next to a man. We shouldn't have to sleep next to one when we go away for competitions. And that's something that a lot of these people don't realize in the opposition, that they don't realize that these are the things that we have to go through on a day-to-day basis. This is not a one-time occurrence. You know, if this is your teammate, you're changing in the locker room with this person every single day. You're sleeping with them in beds every single week and when you go away to competitions. And it's important that we protect women and allow us to have our own private spaces that are just for women only.
Yeah. We need to stand with women and girls in Nebraska. That's what LB 89 is all about. And we're incredibly thankful for both of you and your ability to leverage your expertise and your experiences to help keep girls safe around the country and here in Nebraska. So Selena Soul and Erica Steinmiller-Perdomo, thank you both so much for being with us, and more importantly, for the incredible work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nebraska must act to preserve fairness and opportunities for women and girls and ensure their privacy and safety in our state. That's what we're fighting for, because fairness, respect, and safety are values every Nebraskan can support. For more updates and information and to learn how you can partner with Nebraska Family Alliance, visit our website, NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. We'll be back next week. Thanks for listening to the Nebraska Family Alliance Report.